but I was also jealous. Who was she? Couldn't be one of the bridesmaids because they were wearing lilac. It had to be someone who'd traveled from another city. Perhaps that's where Graham went this morning, to pick her up. They had to be close if he offered for her to spend the night here. In any case, the woman had excellent taste in clothing. A knock at the door startled me. I whirled around to find Graham in the doorway. "What do you think?" he asked at the same time I said, "Sorry, I mixed up rooms." He frowned.
"You didn't mix up rooms. This is where you're sleeping."
I pointed to the dress. He smiled, and I felt even more irrational jealousy toward the owner of the dress.
"That's for you."
Oh, boy. That humming from earlier? It was now a full-blown buzz. It electrified me. I don't understand.
"You tore your dress on my property. I owe you a new one."
I stared at him. "I slipped. That wasn't your fault." He wiggled his eyebrows.
"My sprinklers. My fault."
I didn't know why, but the words sounded dirty.
"You could sue for damages."
"I wouldn't do that," I laughed, looking at the dress with a fresh perspective. It seemed even more beautiful than before. It wasn't too flashy, which meant I could wear it even if I was the planner and not part of the wedding. I pulled on every ounce of self-restraint to do the right thing. "Graham, I can't keep this."
"You don't like it? We can go to the store and change it. There's still time before everyone arrives."
He had time. I had to be here, coordinating everything, but that was beside the point. "It's not that. The dress is gorgeous, but taking it wouldn't be right." There was fire in those hypnotizing irises. Even though there were at least 2 feet between us, I suddenly felt as if we were close enough to touch.
"I beg to differ."
"Graham."
"I want to see you in that dress."
I nearly swallowed my tongue at this, mostly because it sounded like what he meant was, "I want to take it off you." His gaze traveled up and down my body. I hadn't checked, but the dress seemed my size, which meant Graham had watched me very closely. "When did you even buy it? Stores don't open this early."
"I have my ways."
"Private opening hours. Got it." He was bossing me into accepting this dress, just as he'd bossed me into spending the night here. There were no two ways about it. I had the hots for this bossy man. "Okay, I'll wear it. Thank you."
"Welcome. You like this room?"
"I love it. I've already put out my toiletries and pajamas in the bathroom, so I don't have to unpack during the night."
"And here I was, hoping you slept naked."
He leaned in.
"I don't either."
"I didn't ask." I cleared my throat, suddenly feeling very squeamish and very hot. My nipples tightened.
"But I'd be happy to take off my clothes for you."
Other body parts tightened, too. I was hanging on to my wits by a very thin thread. "Graham, I need to get ready before the champagne is delivered." I pointed to the door, and with a quick nod, he took off. The room felt empty without him. I turned to look at my dress, trying to sort through everything I was feeling. This wasn't the time for me to get overwhelmed, so I decided to take things one step at a time. Step one, I was going to rock this dress.
Chapter 12. Amber and Matt radiated happiness. They'd arrived at the same time because she'd decided she wasn't going to do the whole groom must not see bride before nonsense, much to the chagrin of her mother. "How are you holding up?" she asked while we were waiting for the music to start. "Me? It's your wedding." "Yeah, but this must bring some unhappy memories for you." What could I tell her? That I wasn't looking forward to hearing the vows because every time I heard I do, I saw my divorce papers flash before my eyes? I wasn't going to dim her happiness with my negativity. "Don't worry about me." "I can't believe we didn't manage to convince Nana to come for the wedding." "She's stubborn. She was always terrified of flying. I'd offered to take a few days off and drive her myself, but she wouldn't budge." "You don't make road trips across the country in my old age." The woman was sharper than ever, but she didn't like to travel. She'd instructed me to send her pictures as things happened. Once the ceremony started, it took a lot of effort to keep my focus on Matt and the wedding party instead of searching for Lori in the crowd. I lost the battle quickly. One sweep around the perimeter revealed that Lori was standing next to the piano. She was wearing the dress I bought her, and she was magnificent. A friend of mine owned a shop on Rodeo Drive, and she'd helped me choose the dress. It fit Lori perfectly, highlighting the curve of her hips, her full breasts. I knew I should have paid attention to the minister, but I couldn't. Her green eyes were cast downward. Only when Amber and Matt started reciting their vows did she look up. Something clenched in my chest when I realized she'd teared up. When she caught me watching her, she shrugged one shoulder as if saying, "What can you do?" and smiled through her tears. She had to be attending at least a wedding a month, and yet the vows still moved her to tears. Despite the rejection she'd suffered, she was a believer through and through. For one split second, Lori made me a believer too. I was confident that Matt and Amber would make it to their 60th anniversary and surround me with nephews. I planned to claim the role of uncle, even if we weren't related by blood. But this was the first time since my divorce that I dared to believe that maybe they weren't a unique case. Maybe Elizabeth and I just hadn't been a good fit. Still, we'd once exchanged vows too, and it all ended with shouting, accusations, and Elizabeth repeating every chance she got how disappointed she was in how our marriage turned out. After the ceremony, Lori ushered the wedding party to the photo session and the rest of the guests inside the tent. While the photographer was splitting us into groups, I engaged others in conversation, but I couldn't help looking away every time I caught sight of turquoise. Lori was the only one wearing that color today. She moved around the tent constantly, talking to servers and the rest of the personnel. In the hour it took us to finish the photo session, she hadn't sat once. She bossed around anyone who wasn't giving 100% to their job. Crazy as it sounded, watching her all fierce and in charge turned me on. Lori was a strong woman. I liked that a lot. I went straight to her after the photographer announced we were free. "Lori, are you going to be on your feet all day?" "Of course." "No breaks?" "I'll call Milo at 9 before he goes to sleep, but otherwise, no." Her devotion to him got to me every time. Every single time. "I have to make sure everything runs smoothly." "Everything is running smoothly." "Yeah, but that's because everyone knows I'll be busting their balls otherwise." Her words went straight below my belt. A dirty vision flashed in my mind. "Nice dress," I said on a wink. "Thank you. A well-meaning gentleman bought it for me." "Is that so? How about toasting with him?" I pointed to one of the servers circulating with glasses of champagne on trays. "I don't drink while working." I saw my opportunity right then and there. She could have a drink with me after work. "Can you believe it's the wedding day already? Sometimes I get so caught up in preparations that I'm surprised when the day finally arrives." "You've done a great job." And her job ended today, but I was nowhere near ready to stop seeing her. She smelled sweet and citrusy, like last night. And like last night, I wanted to pull her closer, only I wouldn't let go of her now. "Damn earrings," she muttered. One of her curls had entangled with her earring again, but I didn't trust myself to touch her with so many people around us. "I'm going to the bathroom. I need a mirror to untangle this without pulling my hair out. See you around. I'll keep an eye on you during the speeches." Her warning was laced with humor. I took the bait. "Or what, you'll bust my balls?" I challenged. On pure instinct, I moved a step closer, and Lori tugged at her bottom lip with her teeth. She sounded breathless when she said, "You bet I will." She turned around, and I watched her until she disappeared from view. I couldn't wait to be alone with her, to have her all to myself.
Chapter 13. By the time the main course was being served, I couldn't feel my toes. I'd been on my feet for 12 hours, but the wedding wasn't going to be over for another 5. At 9, I slid out of the tent to call Milo. Afterward, I took advantage of the fact I was alone and took my first mini break, enjoying the cool, salty air. I'd snapped a photo of the wedding rings and sent it to my cousin Pippa. She called me a few seconds later. "Hey, thanks for the pic. I always like to see my creations out in the wild. They're beautiful. So when can we expect the special collection?" My cousin had created a limited edition collection of engagement and wedding rings a few years ago, and it took off. Now they wanted to grow that segment to a permanent line. I'm thinking next year. We still have to finalize details and contracts. Can't wait. How are things in San Francisco? Oh, you know, Sebastian and Logan try to boss us around. Emphasis on try, she said, referring to her older brothers. Christopher and Max try to teach my girls every trick in the book. I laughed, imagining how that went. There was a strong twin gene in our family. Christopher and Max Bennett were identical twins, and they'd used their likeness for many pranks as kids. It seemed common sense to teach Pippa's twin girls to do the same. I'd last seen the Bennett clan at Landon's wedding, and I missed them. So, business as usual, I concluded. Pretty much. By the way, I've heard interesting reports about a certain best man. I could hear the joy in Pippa's voice. I wondered which of my sisters had ratted me out. Pippa Bennett Callahan, are you prying? Of course, and proudly owning up to it. Well, I'm working this wedding now, but I'll call you next week and fill you in. Okay. As soon as I clicked off the phone, I realized the DJ was playing dance music, when my indications had been to switch to low-key chamber music while the guests ate. With a sigh, I headed back inside. Andrew, the guests are eating the main course, I said when I reached his booth. Sorry, Lori. I got carried away. He switched to a low-key tune. I headed to the bar next, in the far right corner of the room. Dylan, how is the ice supply? I asked the bartender. We'd ordered enough ice for the entire event, but we only brought out one ice bag at a time, for cosmetic reasons.
I still have some left. I think I'll need a new one in about 20 minutes.
Why don't you go and get it now while everyone is eating? I'll stay here in case anyone needs something. He nodded and disappeared through the personnel door. We'd set up a lounge area in front of the bar, comprised of 5 leather chairs and a small coffee table in between. I sat on one of them and felt my skin prickle with awareness. Graham was watching me again. I was sure of it. I'd caught him looking at me often tonight. I chanced a glance across the room and immediately found him, even though he wasn't in his seat. I felt even more wired to him than yesterday. That invisible thread linking us was growing stronger, and I had no clue what to do about it. Maybe he could feel that too, because each time we talked tonight, he'd kept a respectable distance, as if he didn't trust himself to be too close to me. Our gazes crossed. It was a good thing I was sitting because my knees weakened a little. I could swear his gaze was more molten each time he looked at me. He was an excellent best man. His speech had been fun and heartwarming, and he dutifully danced with each bridesmaid. I'd tried to ignore the twist in my gut each time one of them had leaned in too close or laughed with him. The maid of honor had been particularly possessive of him, monopolizing him for double the number of dances the other bridesmaids had. Yep, I'd counted. I was certain Jackie hoped they'd honor the long-standing tradition of the best man and the maid of honor getting it on during the wedding night. My gut twisted some more at the thought. It shouldn't bother me, but it did. I hadn't been so attracted to a man since before I had Milo. I could still feel the heat of his lips on mine, even though it happened 24 hours ago. Yeah, I'd counted that, too. A waiter showed up next to me. On his tray, he carried a plate with the main course and a glass of orange juice. Your dinner, Miss Connor. Even though Amber had been generous enough to treat me to the entire menu, I hadn't had time to touch the appetizers. I was starving, but I was afraid that a full belly would drain me of energy. As if he could sense my hesitation, the waiter said, I have orders not to leave until you accept the dinner. I didn't have to ask to know who'd given the orders. Warmth spread through me. Not the kind that was sparked by a kiss and simmered on the surface, lighting up my nerve endings. It was the more dangerous kind. The kind that went deep into my bones and was impossible to shake off. Thank you. I took the plate and the glass. Eating at the coffee table wasn't elegant, but I'd promised Dylan I'd stay here until he returned with the ice. I didn't dare look at Graham again. I didn't think I could meet his eyes right now and not give myself away. I wanted him. I wanted him so much that I wondered again if it wasn't smarter to head home after all. As the evening wound down, it appeared that someone else wanted to stay here, too. Jackie was complaining loudly about going back to the city so late. Graham didn't extend her the offer to spend the night here. A funny thing happened once the guests started filtering out. Despite having been on my feet the entire day, energy spiked in my veins. "I can't feel my feet," Amber complained after the very last guest left. She put a hand on my shoulder, beaming. "Thank you for everything." "My pleasure." "Should we start taking down the decorations now?" she asked. "That's my job. Don't you even think about it. You two hop in that fancy car waiting for you and go to your fancy hotel room. Don't you have a wedding night to celebrate?"
"Yes, yes, we do," Matt exclaimed.
Amber waved her hand dismissively, but winked at her husband. "Where's the hurry? You already knocked me up, already sampled the goods." Matt's eyes widened. Graham seemed suddenly very interested in a napkin he'd picked up off the floor. I pretended I didn't hear anything. "Amber, I've got everything under control here. I'll tip the staff and then see to the decorations in the morning. Off you go." She relented, and as Matt took her hand, Graham said, "I'll walk the two of you to the car." Once they left, I tipped each member of the staff, thanking them for their work. I kept looking over my shoulder, checking if Graham had stepped back inside the tent. Usually, I was exhausted at the end of a wedding, but now I was so wired that I felt like tap dancing. After the staff left, I went by each lighting installation and turned it off. When I had two left, I heard someone step inside the tent. I would have known it was him even if we weren't the only ones left on the property. I recognized the strong, confident rhythm of his steps. As I turned off the switch, the tent went darker than I expected. I realized Graham had turned off the last light at the same time. Some light was still filtering in from the house, but the semi-darkness invited naughty and illicit activity. I couldn't believe my mind had gone there already. Graham broke the silence first. "You did a great job today." "Thanks, and back at you. You were an excellent best man."
"Does that mean I passed the test?"
"With flying colors." He stepped close enough that I could see his smile. It was the closest we'd been for the past few hours, and I was suddenly very grateful he'd kept his distance during the party, because his proximity made it hard to think.
"You danced a lot," I said.
"Comes with best man duties."
With one hand, he undid his bow tie and popped open the top button of his shirt. There was something incredibly sexy about the fact that he felt comfortable enough around me to do that. That one button he'd undone didn't reveal much, though. I wondered how much relaxing it would take for him to pop open another one, give me a glimpse of his skin. Hell, I wouldn't say no to a peek at a nipple, either. What were we talking about? Oh, that's right, dancing.
"You seem to have fun dancing. The girls certainly did."
He was silent for a beat, then moved even closer.
"Do you know how hard it was to stay away from you tonight, Lori?"
I sucked in a breath.
"You were the only woman I wanted to dance with, and I couldn't have you. The whole night, I've been fantasizing about making everyone leave so we could be alone."
I couldn't form an answer. All thoughts fled me. All my muscles were strung tight. He brought one hand to my belly, and I knew he could feel the tension coiled in my body.
"You're so tense, Lori. I want to ravish you."
His hand moved higher.
"I want to taste you, make you mine."
He brought his mouth to my ear, moved his hand from my belly up to cup my face, and kissed me. I moaned when our tongues collided. His sheer masculinity made my entire body thrum, lighting me up on the inside. It felt out of this world good, just like before. Was it possible that I'd forgotten what it felt like to be kissed? No, I just hadn't been kissed by someone who was so good at it. And deep down, I knew no other kiss would ever match Graham's. I searched in vain for my arsenal of excuses. I couldn't think. All I could do was feel. When he brought me flush against him and his erection pressed against my belly, I lost all decency. I wound my fingers through his hair, tugging and demanding. His passion lit me up. He cinched my dress up until his fingers were on the bare skin of my thigh. He slid it to my ass and hoisted me up until I felt the tip of his erection against my center. I almost came, and my panties were still on.
"I want you so much, Lori. I don't know what not wanting you feels like anymore."
I want you too, I admitted, voice low, almost a whisper. He kissed me again, and I lifted one bent leg onto his thigh, opening up, grinding against him. I needed more friction. Oh my, this was too much. Feeling his fingers digging into my ass cheek, his hard chest pressing against my breasts, teasing my sensitive nipples, the length of his cock rubbing against my clit. I exploded the next second, coming so hard that the leg I was standing on shook. The one I lifted spasmed. Graham held me tight to him while I regained my breath. I couldn't believe I'd just climaxed. It usually took me about 15 minutes to relax and work myself up to a high point. Embarrassment gnawed at me, but Graham put me at ease with one sentence. Lori, you coming like that was so damn sexy. He took my hand, and we moved onto the pathway leading up to the house. As we stepped inside, I heard a buzzing sound. Graham took his phone out of his pocket, tossed it in the bowl with the keys at the right of the entrance. Don't you want to take that? Could be important. Lori, that phone could be on fire, and it wouldn't stop me. Okay, then. Up the stairs we went, then into the master bedroom. He kissed me against the door, his hand tugging on the zipper of my dress. A shiver ran through me, my muscles tensed. What's wrong? He murmured.
Nothing, I said quickly.
Lori, I can feel you thinking, stressing. You go all rigid when you're nervous. Talk to me.
I haven't done this in a while. I glanced out the window, at the ocean, not quite able to meet his eyes.
The moon hung low, its glow amplified by the reflection in the water. Graham cupped my cheek, turning my head until our eyes locked. Chapter 14. I'll make it so good, I promise. Do you trust me to do that?
I nodded, and he kissed me again. He started with my mouth, moved over to my shoulder.
I've fantasized about undressing you all night.
He undid the zipper of my dress, slipped a hand on my bare skin, blowing my inhibitions to smithereens.
Since I saw this dress, all I could think about was taking it off you.
I needed him naked. I wanted to admire that gorgeous bronze skin. I wanted to touch and taste. With eager fingers, I got to work on the buttons of his shirt until I freed his torso. The reality was more delicious than all the fantasies I'd had. I ran my hand across his steely muscles and placed open-mouthed kisses on the expanse of his chest. He interrupted my exploration before I could have my fill, though I was starting to suspect I couldn't ever have enough of him. He rid me of my dress next. Taking one step back, he took me in from head to toe. I felt exposed in my lacy bra and panties, but the hunger in his gaze put me at ease. And when he captured my mouth and pulled my ponytail free, fisting my curls, heat coiled low in my belly. I rolled my hips almost involuntarily and slammed right into his, trapping his erection between us. Even through his pants, I could feel how much he wanted me. Through the haze of lust, I felt him kneel before me, taking off my pumps. He kissed my legs, moving to my inner thighs. As he moved farther up, I felt heat gather between my thighs, adrenaline coursing through me, like a buzz that wouldn't quiet. I'd never felt so aware of my body, so alive. Hooking his thumbs in the elastic band of my panties, he tugged them down, exposing me further. Without warning, he swiped his tongue over my center, and I saw stars. Graham!
He moved up, kissing the top of my breasts next. My nipples were pressing painfully against my bra. As if sensing that, he undid the clasp and kneaded my bare breasts, swirling his tongue around one nipple, then moving to the other. I felt every lash of his tongue between my legs as if my peaks were wired to my clit. A bolt of energy zapped through me, making me rise on my tiptoes and brace my hands on his biceps. When he groaned against my skin, I clenched my thighs. The emptiness inside me was becoming unbearable. I pushed his pants down with one hand, and Graham kicked off his boxers next. At last, he was naked. He was glorious, utterly glorious. He led me to his king-size bed, and when I climbed on it, my first instinct was to cross my legs. He cuffed my ankles, spreading me wide open, climbing between my thighs, and lowering his head right above my center. He nuzzled my clit with the tip of his nose, pulling one fold between his lips, then the other. I nearly came again. My back arched, and I fisted his sheets to keep from tugging at his hair. His back wasn't in my reach, but I thought I might scratch him if it was. This man brought up wild impulses in me that I didn't recognize. "Graham, that's perfect. Oh, God, it's so good." When he shifted his weight on the mattress, I looked between us and saw he was rolling on a condom. I swallowed hard at the size of him. He kissed up my belly, between my breasts, until his face was level with mine. A tremble of anticipation rocked me when I felt his erection against my inner thigh. He gripped himself at the base, flicking the tip around my entrance, circling my clit, until I was panting and trembling in earnest and utterly soaked. Then he pushed inside me. He gave me just the tip, but a strangled sound tumbled from my lips, somewhere between a gasp and a moan. He moved in slowly, barely half an inch with every thrust, giving me time to adjust. He unleashed an inferno inside me. I didn't want it slow anymore. I wanted all his passion without restraint. I rolled my hips, taking him in to the hilt, feeling him so deep inside knocked the breath out of me. "Lori, fuck. Oh, baby. Wow." He lowered one hand, slipping it under my ass, digging his fingers into one cheek on every thrust, kissing me feverishly. I felt full, so impossibly, blissfully full, with his tongue in my mouth, his cock inside me, his pelvis pressing against my bundle of nerves with every thrust. I'd never known pleasure like this, white-hot and all-consuming. Our rhythm was feral, and I'd moved from fisting the sheets to tugging at his hair. I dragged my lips over every inch of him I could reach, and it wasn't enough. I wanted to savor him. This man was pure perfection. His arms and shoulders were corded with muscles, which flexed on every thrust. I licked a morsel of taut skin, then took one nip with my teeth. Graham let out a low growl. He'd liked it. I felt my inner muscles spasm, tightening around him as an orgasm teased my nerve endings. I didn't have time to prepare myself for it. I climaxed the next second, crying out Graham's name, gripping his shoulders. In the throes of passion, I felt him widening inside me. He was right near the peak. I held him close to me as he came, thrusting hard. For a second, I couldn't breathe. My muscles protested as we lay wrapped around each other. When he rolled over to take care of the condom, my skin was suddenly cold in all the places he'd touched me before. He moved to the edge of the bed, with his back to me. What was I supposed to do now? Hop in his shower, or go to my room? I wanted to feel those strong arms around me a tad longer, but I didn't want to overstay my welcome. Was this a one-night thing? "Should I go to my room?" I asked, fiddling with the pillow. Graham straightened up. The easy, natural silence from before turned loaded. My stomach clenched tighter with every beat of silence. Even though the door was closer to Graham's edge of the bed, I moved toward the other one. He half-turned then, and something in his gaze made me stop moving.
"I'd like you to stay, Lori. You don't want that."
"I do."
"That's settled, then. Let's shower together."
His voice carried a hint of demand now. The tightening in my stomach loosened. "Okay." He held out his hand for me, and I moved toward him. He had a curious expression on his face. It looked a little like relief, a lot like desire. On the way to the bathroom, he walked one step behind me. I hadn't thought much of it until I felt his hand slide down one ass cheek, giving it a little squeeze, then a tiny smack. I whipped around to face him.
"Hey!"
"You're too tempting."
He hooked an arm around my shoulders and pulled me close.
"Couldn't resist. Can you blame me?"
"Yes. Yes, I totally can." We were only a breath apart, smiling against each other's lips. Giddiness bubbled up inside me and didn't subside while we showered. Graham's bathroom was almost as large as his bedroom. We were surrounded by shiny black tiles and silver specks of color. The bathtub was large enough to throw a party in it. The shower had more than a dozen programs.
"This is fancier than a spa," I said. "Which program should we use?"
"Your choice."
"Really?"
I clapped my hands, then got to work. The first button I pushed shot out a jet so strong it nearly plastered me to the wall of the shower. Maybe not this one. I looked closely at the signs painted on each button, but it was like trying to decipher Chinese letters. Okay, so trial by error it was. I played some more, settling on one that had a comfortable pressure. While the warm spray of water descended upon us, I rubbed the sides of my neck.
Neck massage? He asked.
Yes, please. As he flipped me around, I counted my lucky stars for his gentlemanly manners. A minute into the massage, he flattened himself against my back and rubbed his erection slowly against my ass cheeks. I pretended nothing out of the ordinary was happening, up until he slid one hand to my breast. That's not my neck. I was fighting to sound serious. He tugged at my earlobe with his teeth.
Seemed to also require my attention.
How could you tell?
Close observation.
Other places you think require your attention? He slid his hand further down until he brushed my clit. It was a feather-light touch, but I buckled, gasping.
You're still so wound up, sweetness. I could make you come all over my hand.
That sounds so dirty, I said breathlessly. I braced myself for more of the sweet torture, but he flipped me around instead and kissed me slowly, tenderly.
The things I want to do to you, Lori,
he whispered when he pulled back, rubbing the tip of his erection against my belly. My knees became weaker with every rub. There was no mistaking the feral glint in his eyes. Clearly, he was making serious, sexy plans already. I hadn't even thought beyond some messing around, but clearly it was time to think bigger, sexier. I wasn't sure my body could even take more pleasure tonight, but I trusted Graham's abilities to ravish me. And by God, did he ever ravish me. You corrupted my plan to sleep, I informed him a while later as he propped a pillow on the headrest and leaned against it. He pulled me to him until my back was flat against his chest. The circle of his arms was officially my favorite place in the world. Steely muscles, smooth skin. What was there not to love?
This is better than sleep.
So much better, I agreed. I love this view, the moon and the water.
I like looking at the water. I house hunted for a property in this area for a long time. Finally bought it off a celebrity, even though the villa's not really my style. I thought about renovating, but it's too much hassle. The view sold me on the place. I grew up smack dab in the middle of the city, but I spent my vacations with my grandmother in Tampa. She lives near the beach. My best memories are from there. You'd like Nana.
She still lives in Tampa?
Yeah. I tried talking her into moving here, but no chance. She moved there after divorcing my grandfather and is running a restaurant she bought. I think L.A. has too many unhappy memories for her.
His confession caught me by surprise. I hadn't expected him to share something so personal. You see her often?
I fly to Tampa on every major holiday.
That's sweet. I wasn't sure how things would be between us in the morning, but for now I wanted to enjoy this sexy man. As we lay like that, a low rumble echoed through the room.
Someone's hungry.
I rubbed my back against his stomach. Then I rubbed my own stomach, adding, "This someone is hungry too."
Let's raid my kitchen.
I don't eat this late at night. Calories count twice. He cradled my legs between his thighs, rocking me while he pushed my hair to one side, kissing the back of my neck. Our closeness felt incredibly intimate.
Lori, you're absolutely gorgeous, but if it eases your conscience, think of this as early breakfast.
His lips curled against the back of my neck. He was the devil. He really was. Was there anything he couldn't talk me into? You sure know how to spin words. He took my words as a yes, which they were, and pulled me out of bed, dragging his knuckles against the side of my breast, then my ass, as if he had free rein to touch me, which he had. My skin turned to goosebumps, partly because he was touching me so shamelessly, but also because I felt a little exposed. Do you have a robe? Or I can use a towel to cover myself.
I want you naked. It's a requirement.
Really?
Yes.
I crossed my arms over my chest, pretending to be offended. In fact, I was weighing the pros and cons. I'd feel self-conscious parading naked around his house, but the heat in his gaze told me that he liked what he saw. This gave me leverage to ask for the same in return. A naked Graham definitely trumped any self-consciousness. Oh yes, I think I'll do just that. Discovering my naughty side was fun and unexpected. Talk about Val and Landon not knowing how to have fun. But it seemed I'd forgotten, too. I'll consider giving in to your request if you don't put clothes on either.
Deal.
Damn, that had been too easy. I suspected I could have gotten a much better deal if only my negotiation skills were sharper. I tried my luck. I don't know. I drew out the words, tracing a small circle on the carpet with my toe.
You're not getting out of this room with your skin covered. I'm upgrading this to rule status.
Fine. He pulled me flush against him, kissing me. My body sizzled at the skin-on-skin contact, at the way my curves molded against his chest. We were a perfect fit. As we descended to his kitchen, one thought circled in my mind. I didn't want this night to end.
Chapter 15.
I woke up with a start, blinking at the sight of the restless ocean stretching in front of me. I must have fallen asleep after we got back from the kitchen. Before I had a chance to mull over last night, or to wonder why Graham wasn't in his bed, I glanced at the clock and immediately panicked. I'd overslept. Tatiana from the decoration company was scheduled to have arrived half an hour ago. I looked around for my clothes before realizing I only had last night's dress here. My overnight bag was still in the room I'd left it in when I arrived. I wrapped myself in the towel I'd used last night after showering. Then I clutched my dress, shoes, and underwear to my chest and skittered out of Graham's bedroom. I changed into jeans and a yellow polo shirt at top speed, tied my messy curls into an even messier knot, and headed downstairs. I couldn't believe I'd overslept. I never overslept. True, I never spent the night entangled with a hot and delicious man, either. How had I not heard the alarm? I'd always been a troubled sleeper. It was rare for me to sleep deeply, but last night had definitely been an exception. I didn't know if it was because our sexy activities had worn me out, or because being held by those strong arms had felt so good. I wondered where Graham was. He'd told me he was an early riser, but since we'd gone to bed so late last night, I'd thought he'd sleep in. When I stepped outside, I saw that Tatiana and her assistant, Bella, were already done taking down the decorations. Their bridal boutique-branded truck was almost filled to the brim with boxes. The team for the tent was also here, and they'd already disassembled half of it. Graham was helping, too. What a sight that was. Arms stretched, muscles flexed. He was wearing jeans, so I couldn't make out the finer details of his ass muscles, but I knew they had to be flexed, too. Why couldn't he be one of those who wore jogging clothing around his house? That tight spandex would leave nothing to the imagination. On second thought, it was better that he didn't, because Bella and Tatiana were enjoying the view as much as I was, and they didn't have to know just how defined and lean his muscles were. Oh boy, was I really being possessive and jealous? Yes, I was. I'd been jealous last night when Jackie had all but climbed Graham, and my possessiveness hadn't dimmed one bit after having spent the night with him. I cleared my throat to announce my presence.
Morning, Graham said.
When he cast his bright blue eyes on me, he took my breath away. For a moment, I forgot we weren't alone. I took in his tousled hair, his full lips. Now that I knew how soft they were, how thoroughly they explored my body, I couldn't look at them the same way. Hi, Lori, Tatiana said, snapping me back to reality. Wasn't expecting to see you at all. Graham said your conference call might take all morning. It took a second for me to understand what Tatiana meant. Graham had covered for me. Oh, I got lucky. Didn't take so long after all. Here, let me help you with the boxes. Sorry I couldn't help packing. Tatiana waved her hand. Bella shrugged. Didn't take long at all. We loaded the last of the boxes all together. Working side by side with Graham and occasionally coming so close that I could smell his body wash was a special kind of torture. When our arms accidentally touched, a bolt of heat ran through me, spreading from the point of contact all the way to my toes. I glanced sideways at him to check if he'd felt the sizzle too, and I startled when I realized he was watching me, gaze a tad darker than before. Oh yeah, he'd felt it too. After Bella and Tatiana left, Graham said,
I'm going to make some sandwiches. Want some?
Yes, please. I glanced at the guys who were dismantling the tent. Don't want to leave them alone, though. If I leave them to their own devices, they'll make a mess of your yard. Graham smiled lazily, like he knew that concern for his yard wasn't the only reason I wanted to stay out here.
I'll bring the sandwiches out here. We'll eat together.
Sounds great. I tried to compose myself as he headed back to the house, but I'd suddenly developed a lazy eye. The man was truly a work of art. I might as well get my fill while I could. I slipped into full-on planner mode once he was out of sight, and good thing I did, because one of the guys had been about to throw one of the tent poles straight onto the flower bed. Careful there, I admonished. Not over the flowers. Plenty of space next to it. Both men grunted, but did as I asked. This was why I insisted on watching over the disassembly. After one of the first weddings I'd organized, I received an angry call from the mother-in-law who'd hosted the wedding on her property because two of her precious alabaster statues had been manhandled by the vendors who'd come to take back their things. I'd paid for the damages. Since then, I'd made it a point to oversee the post-wedding activities myself or have one of my assistants do it. I jumped at the sound of a low chuckle. Graham was a few feet behind, holding two plates. I relieved him of one. Thanks. I didn't hear you. We moved a little farther away, between two giant palm trees, where there were two rattan armchairs and a table. I can't sit. Standing keeps me awake, I informed him. I practically inhaled my sandwich while also keeping an eye on the guys as they dismantled the tent.
That stern look is a good one on you. I like seeing you in action, Graham said.
Policing people isn't my favorite part of the job, but you gotta do what you gotta do. I can't believe I overslept. Why didn't you wake me up when Tatiana arrived? I asked, placing the empty plate on the rattan table.
Thought you could use the extra sleep. You need to be in top form for your trip to Universal Studios.
You're right. I don't want to be a zombie. Milo needs my full attention. Graham placed his plate next to mine, then shifted his position until we were face to face and tilted his head slightly.
What about what you need, Lori?
He dropped his gaze to my lips. Why did he have to say my name like that?
I have a good idea of what you need, and I'll give you just that.
Is that so? Without asking me if I want it?
I would, but I think you're afraid to want it, even more afraid to admit it.
Wow, his words were so true. You have me all figured out, don't you?
No, but I'm learning. Last night was the start.
He cupped my face, brushing the corners of my mouth with his thumbs. I'm working, I whispered, wondering if this would rile him up. Oh yeah, it did.
If you say that again, I'll take you in my arms and carry you away in front of everyone.
No, you will not.
Try me.
I can wrestle you, Fraser. I have three brothers, I said smugly. I've had plenty of practice sparring with them as a kid, and I take working out seriously, so I'm in great shape to kick your ass. He pulled me behind a palm tree.
I'd love to see you try to wrestle me.
His voice was low and a little gruff, sending a current of awareness right to my nipples. His cheeks were covered in stubble, and it made him look, if possible, even hotter.
If we were alone, I'd sink into you right here, right now.
He kissed me then, his mouth hot and warm on mine. My body responded to him in a visceral way. I touched those fine muscles, lingering with my hands on his shoulders, then moving to his arms. Every inch of my skin seemed to come alive as this sexy and funny man did delicious things to me.
I tore my mouth away from hers only because I'd make a spectacle of us both if I continued. Let's set a date for when I can cook for you and Milo. She immediately tensed in my arms. What's wrong, Lori? Talk to me. Was she pushing me away? I haven't thought through how to explain all of this to Milo. What do you usually say when you introduce a date? I haven't dated in years, Graham. Dating is daunting enough for an adult, but parading men in front of a kid is not the best idea. It took me a few seconds to absorb what she was saying, and then I felt a wave of affection for her. Not attraction, affection. I'd suspected her dating life took a back seat when she said it had been a while last night, but I hadn't realized she'd meant years. She wasn't pushing me away. This was simply new for her. I could work with that. Fuck, I had no clue what I was doing here either. I'd stuck to superficial entanglements after my divorce, but this was something else. The thought of letting her go was scarier than the thought of getting hurt. I was man enough to admit that. This wasn't only physical attraction. It had never been just about that. I wanted to get to know Lori better, even at the risk of getting burned. But could I risk hurting her and her son? Elizabeth's words rang in my ears, that I hadn't been the husband she'd wished for. Could I do better? I wanted to. "You won't be parading men," I assured her. "Just me. I'm very territorial." She gave me a small smile. "Milo needs stability. He gets attached to every man in his life like my brothers or his soccer coach, substitutes for the father he doesn't have." That gutted me because what did I know about being a father after all? Nothing. I hadn't had stellar examples, and kids didn't come with instruction manuals. But I knew Lori was right. Stability was important. "I understand what you're saying." "You do?" "Didn't have much stability myself, so yeah. I understand exactly. We both have our issues, Lori, but what we have is special." I pulled her against me and skimmed my hands up and down the sides of her body, lingering on her delicious breasts. "You're very convincing," she murmured, nodding. I claimed her mouth and kissed her until I felt her rise on her tiptoes. I nudged her knees open, rubbing against her. "If you keep doing that, I'll forget what I'm actually here to do," she whispered. "That's the plan, baby. You make me want to be wild. But I have to go back to supervising the guys. I need to leave here in an hour." Instead of letting her go, I kissed her again. "What are you doing?" she muttered. "Giving you an incentive to come back. I know how to play my cards."
"Oh, yeah?"
"Yeah."
"Well, you'd better behave. I'll call you tonight after we finish at Universal Studios and we'll set up a date for that dinner. Sometime this week?"
"Okay. I'll leave you to handle things here." I stepped back, even though those lips were tempting the hell out of me. I wanted to pull her close again and kiss her hard, lift her in my arms and take her inside the house. I'd sink inside her before we'd even make it to the bedroom. I hadn't gotten nearly enough of this woman last night. Not just her body, but the way she'd filled my house with her laughter and her warmth. A selfish part of me regretted not keeping her up until morning. I'd wasted those last few hours sleeping instead of enjoying her. A strong breeze came from the ocean, ruffling her hair, bringing a few strands in her face. On instinct, I pushed them away, tucking them behind her ear. Lori darted the tip of her tongue between her lips. Her nipples pushed against her shirt, suddenly greeting me. I rubbed her earlobe between my thumb and forefinger, touching her bare arm when I lowered my hand. "Go, before I get other ideas," I said. I shoved my free hand in my pocket to keep from touching her again. She turned around and walked toward the workers, her hips moving seductively with every step. Did she have any idea how innately sensual she was? Did she know how crazy it was driving me to let her walk away from me? "Guys, extra care with the flowers, please. I told you already." She was magnificent, strolling around, dishing instructions. She was a strong woman, raising her son alone, making her own way through life. I walked back inside the house, bringing the plates to the kitchen. Looking at the counter, I smiled. We'd fought over the last bite of our snack last night. I'd let her win. I climbed the staircase, making a beeline to my bedroom. The bed was unmade, and seeing the rumpled sheets brought another smile. The house hadn't seemed too big last night with Lori in it. I usually spent Sundays going out for a run and watching soccer games. Occasionally, I also went over pressing sponsorship contracts, but as a rule, I avoided working from home. From there, it was an easy path to becoming a workaholic, and I didn't want that kind of lifestyle. The club was rendering millions in profits the way I ran it, which was by working a solid 9 to 5, with the occasional phone call or meeting after hours. I didn't need or want more money. Today, I'd broken that rule. After completing my run and watching the third quarter of the latest game, I scrolled through my emails, answering the most pressing ones. And I still couldn't stop thinking about Lori. Last night had been incredible. I'd effortlessly opened up to her, and I felt deep in my bones that my life was going to change in a fundamental way. I wanted to make that change. I was so deep in thoughts that I barely heard my phone buzzing. Amber's name flashed across the screen. "You're on your honeymoon. Don't you have better things to do than call me?" "Wanted to make sure everything went smoothly today." "Everything's fine. You wouldn't even know there was a wedding here." "Graham, I know I've said it before, but thanks so much for everything. And this honeymoon, you shouldn't have. It's too much." There it was. I knew we'd be having this conversation. "Enjoy it." "You've been sneaky about it." Was the only way. I hadn't given them any details about their honeymoon, just made it sound as if they'd be getting a week-long getaway in a spa resort in the Los Angeles area. It was half true. They were in a resort in the Bahamas. I got to my feet and headed outside, descending on the beach. "So, Lori's gone already?" she asked. "Yep, 3 hours ago." "Counting the minutes, too, huh?" "That obvious?" "Saw how you were looking at her last night, but I was too busy enjoying the spotlight to call you out on it."
"Right.
You going to see her again?"
"Definitely."
"I sense a but in your tone."
"No buts, only, can I ask you something? Do you think I could make a good father?" I shoved a hand in my pocket, fingering a coin I found there. My feet sank a few inches in the warm sand. For a second, all I could hear were the waves and seagulls chirping in the distance. I wondered if I'd only said that in my head. I'd never voiced that fear before.
"Graham, you're a great man. I've known you for almost 20 years. You're not like your dad or your grandfather. Get those ideas out of your head, or I'll call Nana."
The corners of my lips twitched. "Don't call Nana. She'll hand me my ass."
"And you deserve that for doubting yourself. We're not doomed to repeat our parents' mistakes, you know. Or I'll end up with a bad perm after the age of 60, or a slight wine addiction, or both.
Imagine the horror." "I already have a divorce on my resume. First move and following in the steps of my infamous forefathers."
"No, that was the wrong couple at the wrong time. You and Elizabeth weren't compatible. Sometimes it takes time to realize that. I have to go, or Matt will start wondering what I'm up to."
"Enjoy your honeymoon."
"Oh, I intend to. It's either that or feel guilty that you're spending so much money on us. I've decided to enjoy it."
"Good girl." After saying goodbye to Amber, I sat on the sand and scrolled through the photos on my phone, pulling up the one Lori sent me, with her and Milo at the concert. That little boy had her eyes, but his hair was a light brown. "You made this little boy very happy," Lori had written after the concert. And last night, Lori had definitely had fun. But was I what they needed long-term?
Chapter 16. When I arrived at Val's house, Milo begged me to stay a little longer because he hadn't finished painting. My sister was resourceful. She had him painting with a squirt gun. Seeing my son reminded me of Jeff's email. I was mad at myself that I still allowed him to affect me so much. "What are you doing with this boy? Every time I pick him up, he wants to stay longer." "Won't give my secrets away." Val shrugged one shoulder as she went inside the house. She reappeared, carrying two plates of her delicious cheesecake. "Val, you're killing me." "You've been on your feet all night, woman. Indulge a little. Plus, you know what Dad used to say. Your sweatpants will never be tight if you don't wear any." We sat at the wooden table in front of Val's house, watching Milo have fun. "How was the wedding?" Val asked, twisting her hair into a loose ponytail. Even when she had no makeup and wore sweatpants and a white cotton t-shirt hanging off one shoulder, my sister was chic. "Beautiful. I'm a little sad it's already over." "Did something happen with Graham?" "I slept with him," I whispered. Val made a sound that had me worrying she'd swallowed her tongue. "Wow, I was not expecting that. How was it?" "It was perfect. I didn't even know it could be so good." I laughed at Val's eager expression. I was dying to share some details, but I couldn't bring myself to talk about spicy activities with Val. I'd call Haley later today. She'd eat it all up. I'd give her a heads up to have popcorn ready.
You're not going to give me any details, are you? She asked.
Nope.
She shook her head. I still can't believe it.
You put something in that perfume.
She batted her eyelashes.
That's an idea for an advertising slogan.
She clapped her hands twice before drumming them on the table. My sister's mind was a dangerous place.
Oh, Lori, I'm so happy for you. You deserve this so much.
He's so sweet and sexy and perfect. He's too much.
Val studied me while she munched on her cheesecake.
You've got it bad.
I do, I admitted. It was scary as hell. This morning, when we'd talked so honestly, I'd been a little less scared. Now, however...
When are you bringing him to Friday dinner?
What?
I don't know. Why?
So I can check if he's got it just as bad, she said, like it was the most natural thing in the world.
Also to make clear what's at stake here. If he hurts you, I will pummel him. I don't care that he's Jace's boss. I have moves, and I'm not afraid to use them. And Haley can do a lot of damage with those heels. That's without even counting our brothers.
I undid my messy bun, trying to smooth my fingers through my hair.
Slow down, kick-ass lady. Don't scare him away yet. You were so laid back about it before the rehearsal dinner. Why the change of gears?
Well, that was before this. She gestured at my face. Goofy expression, dreamy eyes. This isn't just fun for you.
You know I can kick ass too if needed, right?
Of course, but it never hurts to have backup. Now, let's talk about fun stuff. In the mood for some sexy lingerie shopping? I know an excellent website.
Why are you giving me dangerous ideas while we eat cheesecake?
Because every dangerous idea seems like a good one when you're eating cheesecake.
I laughed, wholeheartedly agreeing. I didn't know if it was something in the cake or the fact that sitting with my sister and eating something delicious made me relax too much, but Val had always been able to talk me into buying the craziest things over cheesecake.
Text me the website and maybe I'll buy something later.
She rubbed her hands, pointing to the bench on her porch where her laptop stood.
If you want us to look together, I won't say no.
Nope. Punishment for giving me dangerous ideas in the first place.
Her phone chimed and she checked it quickly.
Haley and Jace are on their way.
On a Sunday? How did you manage that?
I told her I baked a cheesecake, of course. Jace was with her, so now they're both dropping by.
They both arrived a short while later, and I instantly knew something big had happened. Haley was radiating. Her hazel hair was styled in loose curls. She was wearing a yellow maxi dress, a denim jacket, and big silver hoops for earrings.
What gives, sis? Val asked.
Haley placed her hands on her hips and twirled once.
I, fellow Connors, am no longer a business consultant. As of next week, I'll be working with a PR firm here in L.A., rubbing elbows with Hollywood's best.
Wow, congratulations, I said.
Why didn't you say anything on Friday? Val asked.
I got the signed contract back this morning. Didn't want to say anything until all T's were crossed and all the I's dotted.
You knew? I asked Jace.
No. Dropped by to try and talk her into brunch, and that's when I found out.
Sometimes I thought our youngest sister had come into the world with that shield of badassness wrapped tightly around her. When we were little, she'd occasionally let me actually be a bigger sister and clean her messes. As an adult, she typically never let anyone know she had a problem until she solved said problem. Case in point, she hadn't told anyone she'd even applied for this job. I was happy Haley had switched from consulting. The job had required her to fly out on location from Monday to Thursday, so she'd lived in L.A. only part-time. She never missed Friday night dinners, but she was typically so exhausted that she slept through her weekends, not allowing for any shenanigans, whether of the sisterly variety or not.
PR firm?
Val whistled with appreciation.
Hats off to you.
It'll be a lot of fun, but also a lot of work. The rich and famous get into messes often enough. My boss said a lot of new clients come to us because they like the company's track record with getting A-listers out of hot water.
Sounds stressful,
I chimed in. What can I say? I thrive in high-pressure environments, and dealing with an A-list scandal is at least fun compared to spreadsheets and PowerPoint presentations about key performance indicators and liquidity and so on. So, since you'll be rubbing elbows with celebrities,